Texas, America, the world. This is Mark Dancos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. At some point this morning, we hope to be hooked up with Tomislav Sunic from Zagreb, Croatia, to talk about a series of things, including multiculturalism. And if my tech here at RBN could simply signal me if and when we get Dr. Sunic up, that would be great. In the meantime, we'll continue talking about this whole business of empire. Empire. Paul Craig Roberts has been speaking of this in the May 14th piece that he wrote for the American Free Press, talking about all of the reasons why the only thing that is surging in Iraq is the death toll. Not simply the physical death toll, folks, but the death toll, it seems to me, in terms of everything that you and I hold dear in regard to a constitutional republic. Dr. Roberts clearly thinks that the Iraq War is about to become a permanent feature of American life. He quotes General Petraeus as saying that it's going to become a permanent feature of Iraqi life. Hence, the general's utilization of the Northern Ireland comparison is a means of assuring the Iraqi people that they are going to be miserable in perpetuity. Dr. Roberts has talked about the whole business of a bloodbath. Mr. Bush says that we can't withdraw without a bloodbath occurring between Sunnis and Shiites. George, the bloodbath is already occurring. And it was caused by the U.S. invasion. Then there's the whole business of persistence. Dr. Roberts says that the war is persisting despite its total failure. It's great when we persist in things that work. When we persist in things that fail and that are based on lies and deception, bad things are going to happen. Then there's the Iraqi government. We talked about that one a little bit. They exist only in the heavily fortified U.S. guarded green zone. They can't even protect the parliament from being bombed. Then there are the economic costs. Mr. Wolfowitz says $50 billion to wrap up the whole thing successfully. We've already spent $500 billion. The U.S. has incurred future costs as well as current out-of-pocket costs that, according to Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, will be $1 trillion or more. Or more. What's more? Guess we'll find out. Then there's the whole business of targeting Sunni insurgents. That was our original strategy. We've been able to prevail over these guys. They're drawn from 20% of the population, and since we have been able to prevail where the Sunni insurgents are concerned, well, by George, by all means, we then need to target the Shiite militias. Their population is three times larger. They control southern Iraq, the supply line from Kuwait to Baghdad. By George, we need to target them. To add 80% of the Iraqi population to what we have not been able to manage. And as Dr. Roberts mentioned, there's the U.S. dollar. Because of all of the debt and its military quagmire, all the foreign borrowing that's been involved in this thing, the U.S. dollar's reserve currency role is now jeopardized. That threatens the survivability of the empire, doesn't it? It certainly threatens the economic survivability of every American. And, of course, in this Sunni-Shiite conflict, if we think we've got problems now with Palestinians and Israelis, can you imagine a region-wide Sunni-Shiite conflict? Maybe get Iran and Saudi Arabia locked heads with one another, have them involved in a full-blown war in that region. What would that do to the peace of the world? Then we've got Muslim hostility to so-called U.S. puppet regimes in Egypt, Jordan, and Pakistan. What happens to American security? Those governments go down the tube. And then finally, there's this whole business of democracy. I'm going to hit this when we come back. Democracy in Iraq? Democracy in this country? What are we talking about? Then we'll move on. This is Mark Dancos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
A message for all homeowners and prospective homeowners out there. If you reside in Arizona, Colorado, New Mexico, California, or Utah, we can help you with financing the purchase of a new home or refinancing your existing mortgage. We now have a wide array of lenders for your purchase or refinancing needs. If you are looking for a cash-out refinance, from an adjustable to a fixed-rate loan, paying down credit card debt, consolidating installment or other debt, or been wanting to invest in the safe haven of gold in the silver market, but you've been sitting on the fence waiting for the right time. Whatever your reason, give RBN a call and ask to talk to our mortgage professional. He can help you find a plan that fits your needs while he walks you through the process very simply and easily. You couldn't choose a better time to pay down debt or purchase gold and silver. And not only do you accomplish your goal, but you also help to support RBN in continuing to voice the truth. Don't wait any longer. Call us now at 1-800-724-2719. Again, that's 1-800-724-2719.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a biweekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Back. This is Mark Danfoss, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We have been talking in the last couple of hours about Rudolph Giuliani and his exchange with Ron Paul Monday night, speaking as well about this whole business of globalism as opposed to nationalism. Giuliani is clearly the globalist dream candidate, along with two or three other people running in both of the other major parties. Ron Paul is the nationalist candidate, and in that juxtaposition, I think you know everything that you need to know in regard to the Republican Party. Ron Paul is the only game in town for nationalists in the Republican Party. There are no games in town, as near as I can tell, on the Democratic side of the aisle. This is pretty much where it sits. But one of the things that, getting back to Paul Craig Roberts' article on the May 14th American Free Press that becomes absolutely key, is this idea of democracy. You know, when it comes to democracy in Iraq, first and foremost, is it the responsibility of the United States to export its view of democracy to the world? The founding fathers would say no. That's none of our business. People in different countries with different traditions halfway around the world and histories and cultures totally unlike our own ought to be choosing their own destiny. we shouldn't be telling them what we think is best for them and trying to impose it on them. That is self-evident, not simply in that it doesn't work in the long haul, but ultimately the government that attempts to do that in international relations is the same government that begins to oppress its own people domestically. Think about it, folks. The government that has launched Mr. Bush's war in Iraq, the government which has launched Mr. Giuliani's love affair with an unending war on terror, is the same government that has given us Waco, Ruby Ridge. There's a connection there, and it's absolutely undeniable. We need to emphasize this connection is undeniable because it has implications for people abroad that we're not doing right by, as well as people here at home that we are not helping, the average members of the American Republic, who are suffering because of the oppression of a central government that has sold out multinational corporate interests and the Israeli lobby, central bankers, and globalists. That's where it is. Now, let's think about democracy in this country. I think more properly, of course, this country historically was a republic, not a democracy. I think it's a very important distinction. But just in terms of utilizing this one man, one idea, or one person, one vote idea, to be politically correct this morning, that so many people love and embrace as the beginning of the millennium on Earth, if we believe that we have that in this country, I think that that's a very, very dangerous presupposition. We've got corporately controlled elections. We have elections that give us routinely candidates that are the candidates of the Trilateral Commission, the Council on Foreign Relations, and the Bilderberg. Quite clear and demonstrable if that's the case. We know it. We know that they also control the media spin on these different candidates. The ballot access laws in this country, as we were talking about this yesterday with Brian Malatesta of the Constitution Party of Texas, the ballot access laws in this country are designed to reinforce this corporate monopoly on a two-party system, absolutely guaranteed. And when you look at the money differentials, you look at ballot access, and then you look at this whole business of controlled media, the deck has been stacked. Is this truly, truly one person, one vote democracy in the sense that most people think of when they utilize the term democracy? Clearly it is. And Paul Craig Roberts then goes on, however, to say that Mr. Bush has demonstrated something to Islam, to the Muslims. He has demonstrated that America is not an example for other Middle Eastern countries to follow. What Mr. Bush has demonstrated is that American democracy is unresponsive to citizens and voters. Mr. Bush has demonstrated to the world that the U.S. government is controlled by a small oligopoly of vested interests. The public be damned, quoting Paul Craig Roberts. Government means a democracy means a government that follows the will of the people. Mr. Bush is ignoring public opinion and has made it clear that he will continue the practice. That's the final word of what he tells us in the May 14th edition of the American Free Press, in an essay entitled, One Thing Searching in Iraq is the Death Toll. The other thing searching in Iraq is absolute tragedy, folks, in the days ahead. No question about it. You need to keep a close eye on this. And again, this gets back to the importance of doing three things. I could urge you to do three things other than pray, which would be the first thing I'd tell you as a pastor and as a Christian, but leaving theology aside just for a moment, if there are three things that you could do legitimately in terms of your own calling as a human being made in the image of God that might have some positive impact on your world right now, what would it be? As far as the political realm is concerned, I would suggest three things. Support Ron Paul. Support Ron Paul in Austin this weekend. Give his campaign a call at 1-512-250-6649. Support him to the extent that you can this coming Saturday evening in terms of his big campaign appearance in Austin. We need to help him, just as we need to support the Republic Broadcasting Network, just as we need to support the American Free Press. Try those three things as a beginning. Urge your family members and friends to do likewise. Maybe, just maybe, we can begin to turn the tide in regard to recovering the republic and jettisoning empire. And I have another suggestion to Rudolph Giuliani. If he thinks that American foreign policy has not had a role to play in what happened in 9/11, I would urge him to read Dr. Chalmers Johnson's trilogy. Dr. Johnson has been on this show. I may briefly look at his essay tomorrow morning in regard to this whole business of empire, his latest one. But his trilogy should be required reading for Rudolph Giuliani. The Sorrows of Empire, Blowback, and Nemesis, The Last Days of the Republic. If Mayor Giuliani would like those books, he might conclude something different than what he apparently believes as a result of his exchange with Ron Paul on the Fox News on Monday night. Our guest has joined us from Zagreb. Dr. Tom Sunik is with us. How are you, Tom?
Thank you very much, and I appreciate your call. I'm doing pretty well. It's quarter past 4 p.m. here in Zagreb, Croatia, and it's pretty sunny, a little bit windy, though. And thanks again for your call.
Yes, and I think we're dealing with, what, a seven-hour time difference between Central Time in the United States and Zagreb?
Precisely, 7 hours.
I have never been in Zagreb, although you might conclude humorously that I visit it every time I'm up late at night and I turn on the television and I see Sean Connery's old movie there with Robert Shaw, the old James Bond movie from Russia with Love, where I get a chance to briefly see Zagreb in cinema form. I would like to visit that fine city someday.
Oh, by all means. In fact, every once in a while you can see on CNN there is a nice spot about the Croatian coast, Croatian Dalmatia, which is the Mediterranean part of Croatia. So it's a really lovely place, I can tell you.
Yes. Well, listen, in terms of your biography, Tom, I know a little bit about you from what you have sent to me, and I wanted to tell the listeners as well that I'm appreciative once more to Mark Glenn of the American Free Press because he has been the go-between as far as being able to bring you on this show. Tell us a little bit about your personal and professional background before we get into the whole business of what you describe as the fallacy of multiculturalism. Go ahead, sir.
Well, thank you very much indeed, but I don't know where to start. It's so diverse, my background, and it's so flowery. And let me just sum it up a little bit. I was born in ex-communist Yugoslavia in a rather strong Catholic, very rigid Catholic family. My dad was, so to speak, a certified anti-communist. In fact, he was a Catholic lawyer. Of course, back in those days, had to work for the government because everything was state-owned. And ever since I was born, of course, back in the early 60s, I was born in 53, I didn't know very much about politics, neither was I interested in it. But I knew very well, unfortunately, that my family, ever since I was born, has had severe problems with the communist authorities, particularly my dad, who was actually in prison twice. In fact, he was also adopted by Amnesty International. He was also adopted by the American senators in 1984. And in fact, we had a rough time back in communist Yugoslavia. All the more as my dad was a practicing Catholic, and of course, I was raised in that spirit of Catholicism. And by and large, my youth in those communist days in the dark epoch wasn't very, very rosy, I can tell you that. And that was, to make the story short, I decided back in 83 to immigrate to the United States, where I was granted political asylum, and subsequently I became an American citizen, which I'm proud of. And then I also did my PhD at the University of California. And I'll tell you, quite frankly, later on as I began to teach at different colleges, including the Cal State Fullerton and Cal State Long Beach, I gradually became disenchanted with, quote-unquote, the American dream, and particularly with some of the social practices, which sort of blatantly reminded me of ex-communist practices. I don't know if you're reading my mind correctly. So we can stop here, and then you can ask me some specific questions as far as the spirit is concerned.
So basically, in terms of American culture, generally, multiculturalism specifically, as that has impacted American culture, you see a very strong connection between what is happening in the United States and what was happening in the communist Yugoslavia of old.
I'm sorry to say yes. In fact, and not only that I'm sorry, this is not just the value judgment. I wrote subsequently in my books and in different articles that I've published in Chronicles of American Culture.
We'll be back. When we come back, we want to talk to Dr. Sunik about some of these comparisons and parallels and also his new book, Homo Americanus. We'll be back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on RBN. Stay tuned.
World War III? Rising fuel prices? Financial collapse? Trucker strike? North American Union? Our world has become a very fragile place, and we need to be prudent and plan ahead. Don't wait for an impending crisis to become reality. Then it will be too late. Stoves and More wants to help give you freedom from the systems of the world. If the grid is down and fossil fuels are not available to you, how would you heat your home, cook your food, and heat your water? People, we need to be more independent and able to take care of ourselves in a natural disaster, political crisis, or financial crisis. Stoves and More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you the independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. With the right application, you'll be able to use these stoves all year long, not just during the winter months. At Stoves and More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. Stoves and More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at stovesandmoreonline.com. Food, water, and a wood cook stove are keys to your survival in a crisis. Take action.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body can recognize and utilize as food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories. Whole Food Today is dedicated to bringing you the finest health products at an incredible value. Nutrient formulas for men and women, super green food formulas made from over 30 vegetables, legumes, sprouts, immunity health formulas, coconut oil, krill oil, and many other products made 100% naturally. Visit us today at www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. That's www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. Whole Food Today offers free shipping to all orders anywhere in the continental U.S. Whole Food Today, empowering people to attain and maintain extraordinary health.
Live Texas Public Broadcasting Network. Our guest today is Dr. Tomislav Sunic, who was born in Zagreb, Croatia in 1953. He's an author, poet, former U.S. professor in political science and translator. He studied French and English at the University of Zagreb before taking a master's degree at Cal State University, Sacramento. He received a doctorate in political science in 1988 from the University of California, Santa Barbara. He has served as a professor at California State University, the University of California, Juniata College in Pennsylvania, and the Anglo-American College in Prague. He's lectured widely in Europe and the United States. He has articles, reviews, and essays in a number of different places, including the Wall Street Journal, the Frankfurter, Allgemeine Zeitung, Le Monde, and Chronicles. He has been interviewed many times on radio and television, including CNN and the McNeil-Lehrer NewsHour. For a time, he has served as a diplomat with the Croatian Foreign Ministry and is a very, very good friend of Mark Glenn at the American Free Press. And Dr. Sunic's thought, you can find out more about if you go to the article on him in Wikipedia, which addresses where he finds himself being placed in the conservative political spectrum, as we properly understand what the word conservative means. He is, I think, particularly interesting and a particular expert in the whole issue of discussing internationalism, globalization, and the way in which those movements have not simply involved communism, but now are being propagated by capitalist totalitarianism. Go ahead, Tom.
Yes, indeed, that's the right word. In fact, I would use instead the word liberal totalitarianism. And let me just briefly put it, how the difference, how we can observe the difference. You know, probably, ironically, the advantage of communism was that you clearly knew who your enemy was. It was such a vulgar, such an abrasive system, but at least you knew, it was so transparent, you knew who the foe was. Now, in this liberal system, which quote-unquote pretends to be very democratic and very tolerant, the repression functions in a much more insidious fashion, and I hope you will agree with me with that. You do not know who your enemy is. The enemy is, so to speak, nowhere, and at the same time is everywhere. And what I mean specifically by enemy, I'm using that in a metaphorical sense, is this hedonism, this globalism, this permissiveness. These are all, so to speak, under quotation marks, new.
You know, that's an interesting thing, Dr. Sinek, because I agree with you from a less informed perspective than you, certainly. But as I examine all of these things, as a Lutheran clergyman, I am a moral traditionalist. I'm a Christian theist. I believe in the larger school of Christian Orthodox thought, which spans a much wider tradition than merely my own in the Lutheran faith, certainly. But as I look at what has happened in the United States in my lifetime, you know, I used to be very much involved in the Republican Party as an activist. My listeners know about that whole history. It's past history now. But I look at what has happened in this country with the end of the Cold War and what we were always taught by the Reagan-Goldwater wing of the Republican Party would be, you know, the ultimate nirvana, the ultimate beginning of a millennial reign almost. If we could defeat Soviet communism, the United States would suddenly find itself in an entirely new and wonderful and bright era. And here we are in the wake of the so-called collapse of the Soviet Union. And when I look at what has happened in the U.S., it seems to me that morally, culturally, politically, and economically, we have an absolutely cancerous state of affairs in this country, and it's causing many people to kind of look around and say, what happened?
Mm-hmm. Good point indeed, and let me just alert you to my book, Homo Americanus, the Child of the Postmodern Age, in which I'm precisely arguing along those lines and where I'm making not just a clear distinction but a parallel between Homo Americanus and Homo Sovieticus. If you allow me, I can just give you a couple of examples, if
sure.
you don't mind, because I'm
Absolutely.
Backing up my book with a huge bibliography, so I don't want to sound too academic on your show, which I'm very appreciative for. Anyway, one of the reasons that that communism collapsed, if I can put it somewhat figuratively, in the East, specifically in Russia, was because it was successfully implemented, volens nolens, in the West, specifically in the United States of America. Let me explain that. Affirmative action, political correctness, ethnic sensitivity training. Do not think that those ideas are new. They were, in fact, tested out when I was a kid, as a schoolboy here in communist Yugoslavia in early 60s. We also had to pay those, we had those pilgrimages to different ethnic groups in different federal states of ex-communist Yugoslavia. The Russians did the same thing. So it was this sort of a promiscuous false conviviality, which was, so to speak, the fundamental basis of communism, which for some reasons didn't work. And we knew that. We as kids, we knew that this was a make-believe system. Now, ironically, you have this system, of course, under different liberal veneer. Keep in mind the vocable, keep in mind the signifier, the word liberal veneer, under different names. Forget about communism for the time being. But those principles, those same egalitarian, multicultural principles, were tested, you know, fairly well implemented in the West, specifically in the United States of America. Having said that, this may have been one of the reasons why I left the United States of America, because I felt, you know, career-wise, I felt more and more, in a sense, I don't want to say threatened, but I just thought that I was skilled and probably overqualified for certain positions. But you know what happened?
We'll be back with Dr. Tomislav Sunik to discuss multiculturalism, American cultural decline, and the oppression of globalism, hedonism, and internationalism. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. You can read about Dr. Sunik in Wikipedia for a good summary of his biography. Be back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Everybody, this is Jimmy Vaughn, and I want to invite all who love liberty to come out Saturday, May 19th from 6:30 to 10 p.m. and support the only man for president, Ron Paul. This will be his first fundraiser in Austin, so be there or be square. I'll be there playing my guitar along with some other special guests, and we want everybody to come out and have a good time.
The Ron Paul for President Rally and Fundraiser will be at the Texas History Museum in Austin, Texas, at Congress and MLK on Saturday, May 19th from 6:30 till 10 p.m. For ticket or donation info, call 512-250-8649. Again, that's 512-250-8649.
Stay connected to what's happening at the Republic Broadcasting Network by visiting our website,
www.rbnlive.com.
At rbnlive.com, you'll stay up to date with our latest broadcast schedule, learn about upcoming events, read about our air personalities and the programs they host, take part in discussion forums, read the latest breaking news, and listen to RBN programs on your computer by connecting to our live broadcast stream. Plus, you can download previous RBN programs from the archive completely free of charge. That's right. Unlike other services, there is no charge to download programs from the RBN archive. Share them freely with others who are not yet listeners to the Republic Broadcasting Network and help spread the word. We're taking America back through the power of information. Stay connected to the Republic Broadcasting Network and our website, rbnlive.com.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
We're back. This is Mark Danfoss, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We are joined by Dr. Tomislav Sunik. You can read more about Dr. Sunik in Wikipedia. He, among many other things, is the author of a new book, which we're going to be talking about a little bit. And among the many things that Dr. Sunik addresses is the way in which we have seen, of course, a decline in communist power. But now with internationalism and globalization and capitalist totalitarianism, we have a whole new set of concerns, a whole new set of concerns that, in fact, have produced what he believes to be a crisis in Indo-European civilization. Tom, take it away. Go ahead with where we were before the break.
Oh, well, thanks. Anyway, just as a little digression, just look at the pedigree of some of the quote-unquote big liberal spokesmen, or what they call themselves now, neoconservatives. Well, if you look closely at their background, they happen to be former Marxists. So this is a very interesting intellectual if I can say, transformation that they went through. But there is no irony in it. In fact, there is no hypocrisy, I would put, because by and large, both ideologies, the so-called, this perverted word, neoconservatism and Trotskyism, or if you wish, Marxism all the way down, they have lots of things in common, which is namely the ideology of progress, internationalism, as they call it now, globalism, and this promiscuous multi-ethnic society. And as I know from my first-hand experience, that multi-ethnic society, specifically ex-communist Yugoslavia, did not function, did not work. Having said that, you cannot just put people together to live under a common ideology in some with some ecumenical words, because eventually they'll start hating each other. So I fear this may be the case also in the United States of America. In fact, it has already started, but it may at some point just get a steam and end up who knows where.
Well, you know, that's an interesting point, Tom, because as I look at this whole thing, I do not believe, as most of modern liberalism and American multiculturalism believes, that it is hateful or racist to recognize that different racial, nationalistic, and religious groups have fundamental philosophical presuppositions that in many cases make it impossible for them to be fully integrated, neither should they necessarily be fully integrated. What is wrong with the idea that these separate entities have their own internal ethos and their own internal histories that enable them to live in compatibility within that tradition? And in many respects, it seems to me that there is a case to be made for a peaceful coexistence with other nationalities and cultures and religions without suggesting that it's appropriate or even desirable to simply have a gigantic amalgamation.
Precisely. Let me just interrupt you for a second.
Sure.
We should not mix cause and effects, and this is where I quarrel quite often with liberal and quote-unquote leftist academics. Racism is bad. It's an evil. There's no question about that. But in order to prevent it, do not force people to live together. Why, for instance, Iceland, or for that matter, Japan, if you wish, which are ethnically, or let's put it bluntly, racially homogenous society, why do they ignore racism? Precisely because there are no clandestine or foreign wild immigrants over there. So what I'm saying, however brutal it may sound, do not force people into the common hole. Or let me put it figuratively. Forceful marriages don't function. I rather seek for a divorce than live in someone in a Mickey Mouse, if you wish, or in some faked marriage, which eventually will explode and which will result in a bloodshed. That's, if I can put it figuratively, this is the whole idea of this bad multiculturalism.
Yes, and to me, that would be self-evident, given my understanding of the nature of mankind and the way in which that biblical anthropology has played itself out throughout history. What role do you think world Jewry and Zionism have played in promoting, at least in the Western countries, this whole multicultural ideal? And what do you think the possible connection is there? What is the agenda behind that?
That's a pretty tricky question. I will tell you one thing. Whether we like it or not, we accepted Judaism as our superego, so to speak, as our hovering second myself. And this goes back, and I'm sorry to say, that all the way down to Christianity. In a more secular fashion, you see it nowadays in their, so to speak, overwhelming influence which they have in the United States of America. Consider that book that was written recently by Mearsheimer and this other gentleman from Harvard. And
yes,
also by Jimmy Carter as well, and by Finkelstein as well, and there are quite a few very serious books. I'm not talking about anti-Semitic books, but very academic books. So basically, yes, the Jews play a certain role, a very strong role in Western societies. But again, it seems to me, and this is probably where I disagree with some of my colleagues who are revisionists and who do very well explain the consequences, but tend to overlook the foundations of it. And I would actually take the liberty of saying quite bluntly that we have to follow this line of quote-unquote this tense relationship the Gentiles have had with Jews all the way down to Christianity. So basically, we were the ones who accepted Jesus Christ, and we were the ones who accepted the Jewish prophets as our superego. And this is, I think, where the field that we first have to examine before we come to those nasty things like the over-influence in the United States, their hubris, their overreaching in different parts of society, especially those neocons who run the show, so to speak, on the East Coast. I don't know if you can follow me that, but those are nuances that need to be looked upon very, very carefully and very academically.
Well, in terms of the influence of these Jewish neoconservatives in the United States, and I saw much of this when I was living in Philadelphia for a handful of years, going to grad school up there one more time before coming back here to Texas. Do you see this influence as something that's not simply disproportionate? Of course, there are a lot of historical influences and forces and causes that go into this phenomenon, and it's a very complex one to cover, obviously, in the time that we have. But do you see this? I noticed that you used the word overreach. Do you think that there is, a part of these Jewish neoconservatives, an overreach that is going to produce a tragic backlash in the other direction that has implications not simply in the Western world, but in the Islamic countries and throughout the world generally?
Mark, this is what I fear most. This is sort of a natural phenomenon which tends to be somewhat, as I said, overreached among the Jews, because a person has to know his limitations. If he forgets that, he runs the risk of having troubles. And that's what I fear most, indeed.
Yes.
After all, they're also human beings, but I guess it's a very tricky issue, and feel free to ask me anything about that. But the fact of the matter is, as I said, we have to look. I'm arguing about this very scholarly in my book. Why don't we start with Calvinism? In a sense, Calvinism, in a Christian version, and the quotation marks, is an extended branch of Judaism, if you wish. Remember what Cromwell said during the English Civil War back in the 16th century, and then the founding fathers in Boston back in the 17th century as well. They were the ones, paradoxically, who were more Jewish than the Jews themselves. So even Christian Zionists now in the Bible Belt nowadays. Look at this paradox. I mean, I try to imagine myself not just how I look at myself every day in the mirror, but I'm also trying to project myself in my interlocutor's mirror, if you can follow me on that. I'm trying to see how you observe me. And this is the problem where I'm sure, quite certain, the Jews must be laughing themselves off, you know, when they see, for instance, Christian Zionists in America who tend to be more Zionists and more expansionist even in their rhetoric than the Jews themselves. I don't know if you can follow me on that.
Absolutely. And as you point out, it is a relationship, whatever one thinks of it, that is absolutely rooted in paradox, because aside from the issue of a Jewish homeland in Palestine and what the borders of that homeland should be and whether or not Jerusalem, in the words of the Christian Zionists and in the words of the Zionists themselves, should be the internal indivisible capital of Israel. Aside from that absolutely cemented alliance between the Christian right, dispensational premillennial wing of the Christian right, and the government of Israel and the Zionists, on the other hand, there are these cultural and political divergences that make this one of the strangest alliances in history to me. For example, and I know that you would be aware of this, I think in the United States, what is provably the disproportionate support of many Jews in the United States for political and cultural positions, I'm thinking of things like abortion and the gay rights movement, for example, that would be absolute anathema to people in the Christian Zionist movement. And yet they're in alliance with folks who are of that persuasion, and it's kind of hard to unpack in terms of what all the implications are.
Absolutely, and of course we can look at the secular versions of it. I always find it a little bit strange when a person imitates his superego, but in a sort of a broken English, in a sort of a false manner. And this is precisely what's happening with many good Christian Zionists. Why are they doing that? So I guess it would be false, it would be inappropriate, even vulgar now, to attack the Jews and say, well, they run the show, they're the bad guys, and so on and so forth. But why don't we look at those who actually try to imitate them, who actually emulate them, but in a negative fashion? What type of a message does it send to other people, to the American people at large? And to some extent, you can also say, yes, the neocons in Washington, in New York, are just doing that, but in a secular fashion. And their acolytes, like, for instance, I don't want to mention the names, but but quite a few of Christian politicians who are towing the line of neoconservatives.
Yes, absolutely. And there again is this paradox that I think is also reflected within the American right. And I was talking with a guy on the show yesterday about this, that in the so-called Constitution Party, a small third-party movement that I was once a part of as an alternative to the Republican Party, there is this tension just within the Constitution Party among those who have some degree of affinity for a neoconservative-leaning, Christian Zionist-leaning foreign policy, and those who are far more amenable to the foreign policy of people like Pat Buchanan and Ron Paul.
You mention them.
Yes.
These are good people. I wish they were now running for president. I'm glad you mentioned Ron Paul.
Yes, and I hope that he does well in the Republican primaries, of course. But given the deck that is stacked against him, I think he certainly has, for all the obvious reasons, a great uphill battle to fight. I'm noticing, Tom, in your latest book, Homo Americanus, Child of the Postmodern Age, what do you see as a good working definition of the postmodern age? What are some of the evidences that we are in this age now?
Look, first and foremost, I'm using this expression postmodern in a, because it has become, so to speak, in vogue. Actually, I would probably define postmodernity as the epoch where all big narratives, where all big discourses like fascism, nationalism, communism are dead and gone. And we now have the empty void and empty space, except for one thing. The big narrative of the third, of the Second World War, of the Auschwitz, is still alive, if you see what I'm getting at.
Yes. And so in essence, getting back to this whole notion of the Jewish history and culture as being something of the superego in a Western cultural and historical context, then we're talking about a situation where all of these isms have gone by the wayside, that other than kind of an overarching consumerist mentality and with this narcissism that I think also plays a role in this, that this whole business of the Holocaust orthodoxy would be the other glue that would seem to hold it together.
Precisely. That's the bottom line of postmodernity. On the one hand, our apostles, our disciples, our secular teachers keep telling us, well, you guys, you're free, you do whatever you want, this is a perfectly free society, you can talk about gays' rights, birds' rights, you know, whales' rights, you know, you name it. But there are certain taboo themes, do not even think about touching them, because otherwise you're going to lose your job, or you're going to get fired, or like in Europe, you may even get arrested, you know. So these are, as I call them, secular myths, which in many instances are much more dangerous than religious myths. We can now make jokes about the Virgin Mary, we can make jokes about the Pope. Of course, I'm quite critical, just as a side, as a little digression, about the Catholic Church and its practice, particularly in France, towards the foreign immigrants. They're opening up their churches now. It's wide open for foreign wild immigrants. And I guess this is pretty dangerous, just like in Texas, I'm quite certain, and elsewhere. But I guess we're just sort of a sidetrack in the topic. But by and large, there are certain myths, there are certain discourses, so as academics say, there are certain grand narratives that you are not supposed to critically examine, short of becoming a societal pariah.
Yes, and this reminds me of a conversation I had a few years ago with the late Feridun Hoveyda, who was Iran's ambassador to the UN under the Shah. I had a conversation with Dr. Hoveyda in his home outside of Washington, D.C. some years ago in a secluded area of rural Virginia, where he was talking about the role of mythology in Iranian history and in Iranian sociology. And it occurred to me that, of course, all societies undoubtedly have their own mythologies that they operate with.
Precisely.
In terms of the United States, to the extent that as a part of the larger Western world, the Holocaust orthodoxy has become our prevailing mythology. What was the earlier mythology that the Holocaust mythology replaced? What would you say was maybe the earlier mythological ethos that, say, define the United States and some of the Western European countries?
Well, I guess let's just look at the genealogy of it. Let's look at liberalism. Let's look at this grand discourse of egalitarianism. And in fact, if we just move back to the even John Locke, I'm quite critical of. Let's look at some big disciples of egalitarians, as I call. So I would call it economism and egalitarianism, as I argue in my book, the myth that all people are equal, and the myth that of economic progress. By the way, why don't you sometimes alert your listeners to those beautiful antebellum, what do they call them, those, I can't remember them, Southerners who wrote a great deal about antebellum. I'll take my stand. Yes, now I remember those people from Tennessee. I'll take by 12 Southerners who in the 30s wrote the great essays about this ideology of progress. I guess this was the earlier myth, which to some extent has only merged with this new myth and with this new mythology, which the mythology of that we are dealing with on the daily basis.
And so, so basically what we're talking about then is a merger of younger and older mythologies in a way that has become enforced in increasingly authoritarian ways, and some say even totalitarian ways.
Absolutely. As I say, you don't need a truncheon in the West. This is what the bad, those ugly communists use. There are different methods how you can silence people and how you can shut them up for good in the West, particularly in the United States, but also to a great extent in all over Europe.
Yes, and a number of examples of this. Zundel, clearly, and what has happened in his situation. Think of what has happened recently to Lieutenant Commander John Sharp in this country in regard to his problems with the U.S. Navy and with the Southern Poverty Law Center. This is Mark Antonoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be back with Dr. Sunik. Stay tuned.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves & More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves & More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like Grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heating up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves & More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves & More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web, 24 hours a day, at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA, 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com. your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Mark Antos America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We are joined by Dr. Tomislav, Tom Sunik. I've been talking about all kinds of things today related to globalism, internationalism, multiculturalism, totalitarianism, and talking about some of the frightening comparisons with the earlier communistic age, earlier pre-Cold War, communistic age, and what is going on in American culture now. And I'm noticing, Tom, in regard to the title of your book, we just got a couple of minutes left here, speaking about this whole business of the postmodern age, and of course you've made reference to the fact that you believe Indo-European civilization to be in grave crisis. I agree with that. Is it recoverable, or is the older European civilization cultural simply a sad relic of the past is largely gone?
Of course it is recoverable. Of course it is retrievable, and we have to do something about that. Well, the only thing that we miss, that we do not have, is just will. We just have to show some goodwill and show more sense of community for our elders, for our people, for our community. So we don't have to talk about grandiose social engineering, about some big leader or something. We just have to work on the community level and help our folks of European ancestry. And I mean, I in fact do take my word for it. Feel free to pass on my email address to your colleagues, and I'm free to do some for free, some homeschooling. I'd be very happy to lecture in German, English, and French, which I'm perfectly fluent in. So we just have to show a true compassion, not just fake compassion, for our close people, for our ancestry, for our culture.
Yes, because it seems to me that when we look at European culture, and when we look at the older American culture, which was clearly based upon on the European and on certain European models, that is under threat as it has never been under threat before. And it seems to me that there are certain forces that quite clearly want to see that targeted and want to quite clearly see that destroyed.
Absolutely. Do you think that that's...
Do you think that that's the larger context in which we need to see movements as diverse as the abortion industry, the gay rights community, and illegal immigration? Just taking those three, for example, at one level they don't appear to have a lot in common. At another level, they may have a great deal in common in terms of the way in which they have been utilized by certain people to destroy the essence of what you, but I think, referred to as the older Indo-European civilization.
Right. Let's just put it European civilization, because Indo-European may confuse folks. I'm talking about European civilization, but you're correct. Let me just sum up in one sentence. All those people that you have listed, this is perfectly fine. We know where the problem is. All what we need, first and foremost, and I would definitely underline that, is to get rid of this sick sense of atonement and of guilt feelings, of, let's call it a little bit brutally, of this honky guilt. Let's get rid of it. We have to be proud of our heritage. There is nothing wrong in our heritage. We got to spend some time talking about how white people have been enslaved for centuries, how they fought against Turks, against Islam, in order to save the Christian civilization. So this is something young kids in America and both in Western Europe, which is also overwhelmed by clandestine foreigners. That's what we have to educate them in, to be proud of what they are. If gays are proud of their perverted fashions or what have you, if lesbians or what have you, you have also right to be proud of your heritage and of your ancestors.
Dr. Sunik, thank you for being on. I'm going to be publicizing this show, of course, at Breaking All the Rules News, and with a number of paleoconservative sites on the World Wide Web. We'll have information on all of Dr. Sunik's websites and his books available in our archival description of this show, as well as at Breaking All the Rules News. I really want to thank him for being on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Take a look at the piece on him that he find it, Wikipedia.